Welcome to the broadcast of Exceedingly Abundant Ministries in cooperation with Bethel Worship Center of Joplin, Missouri. Their goal is to win the lost, disciple Christians, set the captives free, and see the sick made whole. Bethel Worship Center is located at 3125 West 20th Street in Joplin. Weekly service times are Sunday morning at 10 a.m. and a Wednesday evening Bible study at 6:30 p.m. For more information, visit their website at betheljoplin.org. Now, here is Pastor Gary Culp with today's message.
Well, good afternoon. The Lord bless you. What do you know for sure? God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. Let's pray for souls. Father, we want everyone to go to heaven. So we're at least going to pray and agree together for the eternal salvation of every boy and girl, man and woman in Missouri, Kansas, Oklahoma, and Arkansas. We're praying, Father, for their past, present, future spouses, all the children they have now and the future and their family members, all grandchildren they have now and the future and their family members, all great-grandchildren they have now and the future and their family members. By faith, in agreement together, we are sending the Holy Spirit to convict every person of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Oh, Lord Jesus, reveal yourself to each person, your incarnation, your perfect life, the great miracles you did, your death, burial, and resurrection, your precious atoning blood, the revelation and understanding by your stripes we were healed would come to every boy and girl, man and woman. And yes, Father, they humble themselves before you, repent of their sins, receive you, Lord Jesus, as Savior and Lord, being born again from above. Father, you get every person to a good Bible-believing teaching church, that then be baptized in water, receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit. We're praying for every Christian to become a true disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're crying out for all the demon-possessed, demonized, and captive persons to be set free. And yes, Lord, all the sick to be healed from every sickness and every disease. And yes, Lord Jesus, your people to receive and to walk in financial abundance, prosperity, debt cancellation of their debts, the full blessing of Abraham, whom God blessed in all things. And we agree and we receive. In Jesus' name. Father, we also want to pray for our country, Father God. We just got through celebrating the 4th of July. Father, thank you for 250 years for America. Father God, we agree and we cry out for that end time revival. Lord, this nation has departed from you, Lord Jesus. We know there's millions of godly, born-again, spirit-filled Christians, but there's more that's not. So, Father, we need revival, Father God. Thank you for Donald Trump and J.D. Vance in the White House. And, Lord, they're making a difference, but the corruption is very deep, Father God. Remove and expose the deep state. All the corrupt people that have infiltrated our government, expose them and get them out, Father. And if they're going to get saved, bring salvation, Lord, and change their hearts. But, Father, we need revival, and we're crying out for it. Pour out your Spirit, Lord. Let there be miracles, healing, signs, and wonders, all for the glory of God and for the advancement of the kingdom of God. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Father, you told us these are perilous times, and you have warned about attacks against our power grid. So we agree together, Father. We ask your hedge of protection and angelic protection about our power grid. Father, please protect our electricity, our gas, our oil, our coal. Please protect our water tables, Father, which includes the water in our well and city waters. Please protect our food supply, our farms, our farmers, our food production plants. Father, in agreement together, we agree that you will allow no person, no group, or nation to in any way poison, hack, diminish, destroy, or evil affect any of these resources. And Father, if any person, group, or nation tries to do that, you'll stop them. If necessary, you'll stomp them, Father God. Don't let them do it. And Father, if the billionaires are using their wealth to destroy America, take away their wealth. Father, the wealth of sinners laid up for the just, and we call forth that wealth right now. And we thank you for it also in Jesus' name. Father, we love the Jewish people. We want to see them go to heaven. Remove the blinders and scales off their hearts and minds, Lord Jesus. Let them see that you are their Messiah, and they would be born again. Father, according to your word, we pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Father, we agree with you. You have given them title deed to all the land of Canaan. Father, restore that land to them. And Father, show the Trump administration that you have given them the land, and there is never, ever to be a two-state solution. And that would bring out terrible judgments from heaven. So, Father, make that real to the Trump administration. Show them, Father God. And also, Father, if anyone tries to harm the nation Israel, Jewish people, in any way, shape, or form, you would stop them. And Lord, if they persist in their evil against them, you would destroy them. And that's according to your word, in the mighty name of your Son, Jesus. And we praise you for it now. Amen. Well, we're going to be talking about walking free in Christ. Jesus is coming soon. You know, all the prophetic voices that I have respect and listen to, they're not prophesying good times roll. No, they are calling forth a revival, and that will be good. That will be awesome. But also there are great judgments of God, great plagues and pestilences and things that, again, we're praying against, and God is being gracious and holding these things back. But there are some things we can't pray away. You can't pray away the book of Revelation. You understand that. And the rapture is very, very soon. So let's be ready to meet Jesus and get as many people into the kingdom as we can before he comes. And remember, one of the greatest enemies we were going to have, and it's setting up for that one world government, is AI. And again, it has to exist. God said it would exist. But it will be a tool that the Antichrist will be able to get, have one world rule in this world. So it's getting exciting. It's getting very exciting. All right. John chapter 8, verse 12. Then spoke Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. Now, Jesus Christ is God. He's the Son of God. For you who are born again, he's your Savior and Lord and deliverer and healer. But he's letting everyone know he is the light of the world. And notice what he says, and this is true of all those of you who are born again, and I pray that's everyone hearing my voice. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. So Jesus says, for those who find out that I'm the light of the world, receive me as Savior and Lord, that we will follow him. That reminds me, a little bit later, remember what Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 27 through 29? My sheep, those are all born again believers, hear my voice. Whose voice? Jesus' voice. He's God. And I know them and they follow me. Did you see that? That's twice in two chapters. Jesus says, those who know me, follow me. So here's what I know. I'm not sure what church you go to, or if you go to church, what denomination, but you got to be born again. And if you're born again, making Jesus Savior and Lord of your life, you will follow Jesus. And wherever he directs you, that's where you need to go. That's where I need to go. You know, I've never told you I thought you needed to go to my church or be a part of a non-denominational church. No. But you got to have Jesus living in your heart or you're going to die and go to hell. And we'll look more about that in a minute. But here's what's true of all Christians. My sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me. So if you're born again, you are following Jesus. Oh, here's good news. And I give unto them eternal life. You know it's a gift, right? You can't earn it. You can't be good enough. You can't do enough religious rituals to get to heaven. You just have to humble yourselves, repent, receive Jesus, and allow his blood to wash away your sins, and enter into his kingdom. Oh, how wonderful. My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. That means you'll never die and go to hell. Jesus says so. Jesus doesn't lie. You probably do, but he doesn't. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, that's Father God, we talked about him last week, who gave them to me. Do you know every believer is a love gift of Father God to his Son Jesus? And if you want more information on that, read Jesus' prayer in John chapter 17. Did you know you're a gift to Jesus if you're born again from the Father? Let me read it again. My Father who gave them to me is greater than all. You better believe it. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Nobody can take you out of the arms of Jesus. Oh, that's good news. Aren't you glad you listened today? The Pharisees therefore said unto him, thou bearest witness of thyself, thy witness is not true. Now again, these are the religious leaders. These are the guys who, when Jesus was born, should have said, yes, the Messiah's here. Let's love and serve him, worship him, hear everything he has to say. But they had got perverted in their religion. They claimed to know Father God and not received the Messiah Jesus. See, that helped me to understand, why are there so many false cults and religions and many false denominations out there? How can that exist? Well, it was right there then. The very people who should have welcomed Jesus were religious and rejected Jesus, but they still claimed to know God. But they didn't know God because they didn't have Jesus. And you don't know God unless you have a born-again relationship with Jesus. More to come. Jesus answered and said unto them, though I bear witness of myself, yet my witness is true. For I know from where I came and where I go. But you cannot tell from where I come or where I go. You judge after the flesh, I judge no man. And yet if I judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone, but I and the Father that sent me. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am the one that bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me. Then they said unto him, where is thy Father? You see, they didn't get it. They weren't able to recognize Jesus. Where is thy Father? Jesus answered, you neither know me nor my Father. Ooh. But very religious, prayed every day, read the Old Testament scriptures, gave tithes and offerings, and were going to hell. Millions of people in the world today are like that. Oh, they're religious, but they don't got Jesus. And yet they claim to know God. Are you getting this revelation? Are you getting this understanding? Satan loves religion. He hates Christianity. He hates Jesus. But he doesn't mind you getting a little religion. Think about that. And they said to him, where's thy Father? Jesus answered, do you neither know me nor my Father? If you had known me, you should have known my Father also. These words spoke Jesus in the treasury as he taught in the temple, and no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. Then said Jesus again to them, again the religious leaders, I go my way, and ye shall seek me. Oh, and here's something, hopefully your preacher preaches, and shall die in your sins. Where I go, you cannot come. Well, wait a minute, but to comment, a few more verses. Then said the Jews, will he kill himself? Because he saith, whither I go, you cannot come. He said unto them, the religious leaders, you are from beneath. Oh, you know what's beneath, aren't you? Okay. I am from above. Jesus came down from heaven. You're of this world, world system. Satan is the god of this world system. 2 Corinthians 4. I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. That's the second time he said that. For if you believe not that I am he, again the Messiah, Savior and Lord, ye shall die in your sins. That's three times in a few verses. Jesus tells religious people, because you have not trusted me, you are not trusting me as Messiah, Savior, and Lord, you will die in your sins. Your religion has done you no good. Your claim to know the Father is bogus. And without me, and again we know because he's going to the cross, and without my precious blood shed to your sins, you will die in your sins. And I want to tell everyone listening to my voice, if you're not a born again believer, and I don't care how many times you got confirmed or baptized or sprinkled or tinkled, you're going to hell if Jesus does not live in your heart and you haven't done business with Jesus. If you're born again, you've met Jesus in the new birth through the Holy Spirit, and your life has changed because you have done business with Jesus. But you can be religious and play the games and go to the church and join the church and do all that. And just like these guys, you missed Jesus. You just were religious and talked about God, but you had no relationship. And Jesus will say to you, you will die in your sins because you know it, just like the song says, nothing but the blood. The only thing that washes away any person's sin is the blood of Jesus. Do you see why the cults and isms are going to hell? Do you see why the Buddhists, the Muslims, and all these people in these false religions are going to go to hell? Because they've not trusted in Jesus and his blood atonement. And no matter what God they say they know, it's not the true God. Do you get the picture here? That's just such an important revelation. Then they said unto him, who art thou? And Jesus said unto them, even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. I have many things to say and to judge of you. But he that sent me is true. Of course, that's the Heavenly Father. And I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. They understood not. Again, they understood not that he spoke to them of the Father. You know, Father Jehovah God. Then said Jesus unto them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man. Remember, Jesus is going to go to the cross, right? Then shall you know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself. But as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. Oh, that could be said of you and I as Christians, that we always do the things that please God. Now, I don't. I try to, but I've not perfectly done it. How about you? But as Christians, that's our goal, to please God every day, to walk before him in faith, obedience, and love, right? Those are three big words, aren't they? Okay. As he spoke these words, many believed on him. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Some of those Pharisees saw it. The Holy Spirit must have convicted them. The blinders must have fallen off, and they trusted in Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. They got saved. Thank you, Jesus. That's the good news. When you read the Bible and hear the words of Jesus, you can get saved. And they got saved. They got it. Not all of them, but some of them did. Not all get saved, but some do. Thank you, Jesus. And I pray that you're one of them. Now, notice, what does Jesus say? Does he say, okay, guys, you're trusted in me. Now just have a good life and I'll see you later when you die. That's not what he says. Now, having believed in Jesus, next step, Christian life. Yeah, remember we talked about following Jesus. Here's what Jesus says. Then said Jesus to those Jews who believed on him, if you continue in my word. You know that's the Bible, right? Then are you my disciples indeed. Oh, so meeting Jesus doesn't mean you know everything about Jesus or the Bible, right? You can be totally ignorant of the Bible and meet Jesus. But now that you've met Jesus, his love book, the Word of God, the Bible, you read and devour because you find out what he likes and what he doesn't like, how to live and what not to do, right? Okay. And you shall know the truth. Okay, that's such an important statement. In other words, there's progressive revelation in the Bible as you grow in the Lord. You learn about things you didn't understand before as you study God's word. And remember that wonderful scripture, Romans 10:17? So then faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Your faith is increased. You begin to know Bible doctrines like salvation, the Trinity, just many, many different doctrines in the Christian. You begin to learn and grow and have understanding in them so people can't trick you. Because the epistles talk a lot about people coming after Jesus and trying to trick people. Just like today. But let's go back. And you shall know the truth. And the only way you can do that is through Jesus and the Bible. Because just a little later on, I'll go ahead and tell you. John 14:6. Jesus said unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. That's eternal life. No man cometh to the Father. Oh, see, they were liars. No one comes to the Father, Jehovah, but by me, Jesus. So that tells a lot about what's right and what's wrong, doesn't it? Okay. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The truth you know and understand and practice will make you free. But let's continue. They answered him, "We are Abraham's seed." Now, again, they were Abraham's physical seed, okay? "And were never in bondage." Let's think about that, those words. Never in bondage. They're talking to Jesus. "To any man, how sayest thou you should be made free?" In other words, they were indignant. We're physical descendants of Abraham. Didn't recognize who Jesus was, but we got a pedigree. Jesus. Oh, and this, what he says right here is true for you and I today, and many people still don't get it. Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever." One more verse. "If the Son therefore shall make you free," who's the Son of God? Jesus, yes. You know, in Islam, they say God has no son. So where are all them going to go who practice that? Well, I'll give you a hint. It's not heaven. "If the Son therefore shall make you free," and only the Son of God, Jesus, can make you free, "you shall be free indeed." But let's go back a minute. "Whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin." Jesus says, you guys are pretending like you got it made because you're physical descendants of Abraham. But let me tell you a real spiritual reality. You guys are sinners. And whoever commits or practices sin is a servant of those sins. And going back a little further, you're in bondage to those sins. Because anything you give yourself over to, you become a slave to. Do you know there are Christians who love Jesus who have bondages in their life because they don't understand that if when sin happens in your life, you don't repent, get under the blood of Jesus and take care of it, it can become a recurring theme or a practice, and you can get stronghold and bondages in your life. And even though you belong to Jesus, Satan has legal rights to afflict you, torment you, and get you to do things that now you say, well, I used to want to do it, but I don't want to do it anymore, but I have to do it. Well, in some sense, that is true. You've gotten into bondage of sin. So lost people are in total bondage to sin, but Christians can get into bondage of sin by not dealing with sin issues, not growing in the Lord, and doing things that are sinful, not knowing they are sinful, and those things get a hold of them. But I don't think it's probably any Christian that's never had some bondages in their life. So I'm not talking about those people. I'm talking about all Christians. Unless you were raised in a perfect family, perfect generations and everything, even after you got saved, you found there were some sinful habits that were nagging at you, trying to get you involved in it, or sinful habits you didn't even know were sin until later on in your Christian life. You just didn't get it. So, but Jesus says you can be in bondage to sin. And that's why, you know, we talk about often the demonization of Christians. Demonization is something that takes place when Satan gets a legal right in a person's life to torment or inflict him, and it's always because of sin issues. You didn't deal with some sin in your life. Again, let me give you a most practical example that just helped me to make perfect sense to me. Remember Paul talking in Ephesians to the Ephesian believers? He says, "Be you angry and sin not." And who doesn't need to hear that? "Be you angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath." Don't go to bed mad. Forgive. Deal with it. Because here's what happens according to God. "Neither give place," topos, Greek, "a beachhead, an open door to the devil." Sin opens a door to the devil. Now, I came out of the denomination that many people think, well, your sins are all forgiven. You don't have to worry about any of that. Sin's not a big deal. You're forgiven. That is absolutely not true. That's not in the Bible. If you just study the Bible, you find out believers got in deep trouble when they got into sin. And Bible says it's a legal right for Satan to attack you as a Christian. I mean, someone who's dying and going to heaven, but you still have, Satan has a place, he has a bondage, or another good word, a stronghold. Oh, where'd you find that at? Well, 2 Corinthians 10, 3-5. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war against the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare, we're in a warfare, are not carnal, fleshly, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. That's those fortress of lies you've believed, and probably by being on the left, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, here it is, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. You know, I really didn't even know how wicked I was until years later, as I began to mature as a believer and study the Bible, and I saw, oh, that's a sin too? Oh, God judges my thoughts? Oh, wrong attitudes are bad? Oh, Jesus, help me. Yeah, I say it today. I've been preaching since 1983. I still have to say, Jesus, help me. But I deal with the junk in my trunk, and Jesus gives me victory through the Holy Spirit over so many things. But I still have to fight the good fight of faith. I can't let down my guard. I got to put on the whole armor of God and fight the good fight of faith just like you. I got to wield that sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. I've got to put on the helmet of salvation. I got to hold up the shield of faith to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And yes, in times past, a few have got me. Ouch. But they got pulled out. Thank you, Jesus. Do you get the thing here? So they got saved, but Jesus says, you've got to become a disciple. You've got to get in the Bible. You've got to grow. You've got to find out what the Bible says, and you got to apply those truths to your hearts and lives by the grace of God, yes, and through the power of the Holy Spirit. And as you do that and keep your eyes on Jesus and walk in fellowship with Father God and Jesus, you will have victory and see many wins in your life. Yes. And by the grace of God, you will fulfill the eternal purpose and plan that God has prepared just for you. And it's just a little bit different, I'm sure, for all of us. All of us have a little different purpose and plan of God, but be sure it always lines up with the Word of God. So Jesus says to people who get saved, if you continue in my word, what's 2 Timothy 2:15? Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that need not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Do you know you can't be a casual Christian and do well? Satan will nail your hide. Oh, that's a good word. Nail your hide. And you're going to have problems you wouldn't have otherwise because you didn't grow in the Lord and get strong. You thought, well, I'm saved. I got it made. No big deal. That verse isn't in the Bible. Remember back to the first one? I am the light of the world. He that followeth me. See, you meet Jesus in salvation, and then the rest of your life you follow him as you study God's word, go to church, and all the things he leads you to do. Does Jesus live in your heart? If not, and you want him to, let's pray. Jesus, I want to have a relationship with you. I want to be born again. I do believe you died on the cross and rose again. I believe it's your blood that washes away my sins, and I want to be a Christian. I want to serve you. Jesus, forgive me for all my sins. Please come into my heart and life and be my Savior and Lord of my life. I give myself to you completely, both now and forever. Thank you for saving me, Jesus. Amen. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the broadcast of Exceedingly Abundant Ministries in cooperation with Bethel Worship Center of Joplin, Missouri. Bethel Worship Center is located at 3125 West 20th Street in Joplin. Weekly service times are Sunday morning at 10 a.m. and a Wednesday evening Bible study at 6:30 p.m. For more information, visit their website at betheljoplin.org or send an email to Pastor Gary. His email is garyculp@yahoo.com. Please join them again next week as they continue to expound on God's truth in a relevant and practical way.